A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
W229HE Atlanta, the most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting Station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Chuck and Chernoff, a day away from our trip to Harris Cherokee. We'll be live inside the Caesars Sportsbook. Get you all set for the draft, which begins tomorrow night at 8. Make sure you're locked in tomorrow with us on The Fan on FM at 93.7. Doing it on AM at 680, and of course, on the 680 The Fan mobile app. Our 4 o'clock hour is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. We will get a visit from the Doc, one of our final visits from Doc McChuckins leading up to the draft. Doc is coming up around the corner. What can we look forward to?
The Falcons will take two at this position, and I've got the day 3 pick.
She is the director of 680 The Fan social media. She's the host of the Bench Riders podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. She is Hip Hop Mandy, Amanda Schwartz.
What's up, Schwartz?
Who joins us for Schwartz on Sports. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy to be back.
It's good. A day after you gave us a lot of insight on the Drake, Kendrick Lamar beef. Yeah. You did great.
Thank you.
Now we hit a couple of big things in the entertainment world, then we'll get some Amanda Icks. Where are we starting?
All right, we're going to start with Kelsey Plum. So Kelsey Plum, the WNBA star, and her NFL husband have officially announced that they're getting divorced. So Kelsey posted on her Instagram story yesterday that the two were getting divorced after just a year of marriage. They got married back in March 2023. In case you don't know, her husband, or now-to-be ex-husband, is Darren Waller. He's a tight end for the Giants, and he played at Georgia Tech.
He did.
Fun fact. Kelsey posted on her Instagram story to announce yesterday and posted this long, very sad excerpt. And she said in there, quote, "I'm devastated. I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go."
Where do you fall on the oversharing? Like, you're getting divorced. That's a personal thing, isn't it?
That, yes, but because she's a public figure, right. I feel like you have to let the people know.
Open the curtain.
You said to bring it up.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to do it first.
Right.
Now, I thought her...
And so she does preemptive. That son of a bitch. I did everything and he didn't... Okay.
Well, from what she posted on her Instagram story about walking through fire for him, it sounds a little cheaty to me. I feel
like
something...
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? This isn't the...
A little cheaty.
But this isn't the amicable, we go our separate ways, I'll always have love for him. This is that mofo... He's not to be trusted, and I did everything for him, and this is what he did to me.
Is that acceptable language, like when you're going to complain to your wife, look, I've been a little cheaty?
I don't think so.
I will say to Kelsey Plum, this is a surprise that an athlete might have cheated on you. That is not, I mean.
It is shocking.
That is a out-of-character sort of move.
It really is. And actually, there was speculation that they might be splitting back in January after Darren posted a TikTok of him dancing, which in itself is an ick, but I digress. And he was mouthing the lyrics to a song called Think It Over with a text that said, quote, "when your girl about to leave you." So people thought that they were going to maybe split back then and then...
Oversharing.
Yeah,
how toxic is it?
Hi, everyone. I'm having marital problems.
Within a year, you're posting all that. I mean, like, how toxic is this? This is one of those where you'll hear them say, we should have never gotten married.
Exactly.
Shouldn't have done it. We thought things would be different. And I hope they just go their separate ways. Because Darren's talking about not playing this year either.
Oh, really?
He's on the fence about whether he's going to retire or not.
He should retire.
Yeah, this could have been one, like, before he actually fell asleep after they got married. He might have been wondering, at least.
Exactly.
Have we done this?
Yeah. And in the vein of Kelsey being single, I actually came up with five bachelors that I think could be good for Kelsey. All so right. I want to give them to you and
Please.
Let me know what you think.
Okay.
Number one, Tyler Cameron. Are we aware of him?
Who's this?
Bachelor star turned TV personality.
Sounds great.
He's gorgeous.
All right.
Amazing.
Beautiful. I like
okay,
it.
Okay. Number two, Max Fried. What do we think?
Now, I thought Max is in a relationship, though.
My research.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Okay.
But if he's single, he lives part-time in Vegas. Okay. She's in Vegas. Same age
so you think
range. I think it's perfect.
If you're free, you're going to follow Darren Waller? Wow. Saying.
Okay, number three, Michael B. Jordan. Shooting for the stars.
Maybe the best body of any dude in Hollywood
and
right
face.
Now.
And face. Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yes.
He's a beautiful individual.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, number four, a jump scare, but Dave Portnoy.
What?
He likes brunettes. His ex, Silvana. Brunette, gorgeous girl. I think he's a huge fan of Caitlin Clark. I think he's going to invest heavily in the WNBA this year. And, like, what better way than to date Kelsey Plum?
That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. And number five, Ross Travis, who is Travis Kelsey's best friend that's going around with him to Taylor concerts and things like that.
Okay, and so that's all for her,
for
right?
Her.
And that cheating snake, Darren Waller, he can arrange
he can
his own
single.
Dates.
He can
okay,
figure
right,
it out.
Yeah.
All right, next up, there are internet rumors that one of the hottest NFL stars might be back on the market. Okay, Joe Burrow. Yes.
Last show could be available?
Could
Joe
be.
Joe Scheisty.
Could be. In their latest podcast, that gossip blogger Dumois has made a claim that Joe is now single. He's always been pretty private with his relationship. He's been dating the same girl since he met her at Ohio State. It's been about 6 or 7 years. And if you remember back in August, we talked about engagement rumors. There were rumors that the two were engaged. Well, last week, Dumois said that they'd received a DM from an insider who said that Joe was at a friend's wedding on March 30th alone. He was allegedly having a lot of fun, not with girls, but just having a lot of fun, whatever that means, which is not super incriminating. But then Dumois claimed that they had gotten a separate DM from someone who knows him and said that Joe broke up with Olivia and is officially single.
Hang on. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean Joe Burrow's number one overall draft pick, Heisman Trophy, national champion, mm-hmm. Super Bowl quarterback on a Saturday night. He said he's out having a lot of fun. I don't know what that means. If you're Joe Burrow, it doesn't mean you're eating hors d'oeuvres and having a cocktail at a wedding reception, okay?
Right.
That's not fun to Joe Burrow, I can promise you.
Can I give you the other part of this?
Yes.
This is the Bengals' worst nightmare. You want your quarterback in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You want him home. You want to know where he's going every night. The last thing he needs is to go on a run.
He's a single quarterback. He's Joe Burrow and he's single.
Yeah, you go on a run in the offseason, mm-hmm. right? He needs to get this out before minicamp and before training camp. Get all of it out and then find the next Mrs. Burrow to settle down with.
Well, you're going
to
love this because Dumois also said on their podcast that Joe has been hooking up with girls and making them sign NDAs. But this is the kicker.
Half the bridesmaids.
They said that he's too shy to go up himself, so he sends his friends over to bring them to him.
I mean, just because you're a star quarterback does not mean you have any game or any kind of confidence to go do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's April.
Right.
Go on your run right now, Joe, and then by August, settle down.
Valley girl, she's a valley girl. Okay, last story. Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman's daughter, Ariana, has responded to her mom's latest and frankly darkest clickbait post yet.
Now, so, Ariana's not the oldest.
No, she's the 22-year-old.
Right, Brielle's the oldest.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, and then Ariana.
Yeah.
So, Kim, who's known to post some really weird clickbaity content on her social media, it actually fooled Matt a couple weeks ago. He sent me a link to a picture that she tweeted of herself in a hospital bed. He's like, we need a full report.
Why did she post that?
Because she's a weirdo.
I didn't get got. She posted
Kim
it.
Kim Zolciak reeled you in.
No. It's like, why would she pick that picture to put up? Now, just like yesterday, mm-hmm. she put up a picture of three hearts broken in a picture of Croy.
Well, actually, it was a picture of her and Croy, black and white photo, and the caption was #RIP.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
This is, I mean,
a little dramatic.
It was a little dramatic. So she posted it to her Instagram, and then she also put it on her story. And on her story, there was a link to a Celeb Buzz article from 2023 titled, "They'll Be Missed, Celebrities We Will Remember in 2023.
Can she get arrested now? She can't even do it. She would love to be back, and that the rumor was that they wanted her back on Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Then the story came out that she wanted to be back on Housewives and they didn't want her.
Right.
That sounds more realistic than the other way around.
Yeah, I think it is. But so because she insinuated that the father was dead, the daughter had a slight reaction to this. Ariana, that we had mentioned earlier, she took to TikTok to post a TikTok reaction because she was getting all these texts, phone calls. Is
so
your dad okay? Is your dad
Troy,
okay?
Yes.
Exactly.
Condolences, yeah.
Yeah, so she posted a TikTok. We actually have the audio of some of the TikTok we're going to play now.
Secondhand embarrassment stays through the roof. Let's see what's coming next week. I love you, but I just, like, my heart, like, tugging, like, no. The f***?
Oh.
So that's what she has to say.
How many,
about that.
How many views did that one get?
Because when I checked, it was at 500,000.
Sure.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Post
she said 18 words. Seven of the words were like, and
no
another was no.
And that's only half the TikTok. There was a half we didn't even use.
Oh, no. What a shame we didn't get the other part of it.
More likes, more tears.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, last but not least, we have our icks.
I love icks.
Steering away from Bachelor of the Week because Neil Shipley was not a hot pick.
I mean, I'm sorry. The Neil Shipley thing, you caught me off guard with that one.
I caught everyone off
like
guard.
Like, Michael B. Jordan's beautiful, and then you're Neil Shipley, right?
Yeah, I have a broad taste.
I guess so. So explain the icks to the new listener.
The icks are momentary turnoffs. You can get past them, but it's something that gives you pause in your partner.
All right.
So first up, water shoes.
Really?
Yeah. Do you wear water shoes?
No.
Okay. Well, then you get it.
Now, is it okay in the water, or are you just saying like people are not wearing them out
be
and about?
A man.
Are you
take kidding? The water shoes off.
I'm with you. Like, I'm just
aqua socks.
No, aqua socks, even worse. Yeah. Where it shows all 10 toes.
Have you seen anybody doing this? It feels like an older generation thing.
It is. Yeah. It is. I haven't seen anyone my age do it in a while, but I just want to prevent anyone that might be thinking about
shower shoes you're okay with.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Maybe if you're in a public shower.
What if you've seen like his shower and you're like, okay, I get it.
But shower shoes essentially are just flip-flops.
Yeah.
Now,
Let
me ask you this. Are you okay with the Crocs? Because we're in a generation of Crocs now. Crocs
and
socks.
I actually don't mind the Crocs.
And the socks?
But
it's
no
everywhere.
Socks.
Crocs and socks are a thing everywhere.
No.
Like my grandfather did that in the early 80s. Now I'm seeing it back.
Yeah. No, I think take the socks off. The Crocs are fine.
The smell was not great, though.
Oh, I was unaware of the smell.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, next
That's
up.
My ick.
Practicing your golf swing every time you pass a mirror.
Come on, bro.
You just got broed. When Colin bros you, you know he's not happy.
Is that bad? Do you do that, Colin?
I mean, everyone in this room over here does it.
You just practice your golf swing, you see a mirror.
Or just walking around.
I don't know what he's talking about.
If you have a reason to do it, do it. You got to get your form down. I get it.
Okay.
Jared, didn't you just hit the chair with the club like 5 seconds ago?
I might have.
Now, he actually has a club over there. You're sitting without a club, though.
We got
two
clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to offend.
Yeah.
You're doing the shadow swinging. Yeah. You don't like that.
Right. Okay, next we have spitting in public places.
Oh.
Like hawking a loogie walking down Braves Battery Avenue over here. I've seen it. It's disgusting. It's rude, honestly.
Could do without it.
Yeah. I don't want it.
There's maybe a little more discretion. You head out somewhere somebody doesn't see you.
Yeah. Make it classy.
And that noise that comes along with it when you are hawking the loogie.
Well,
nobody wants it.
Dipping and has the cup with him.
Do it discreetly. Not in front of people.
You're not dating a dude who do dips.
No. Yeah, you would never.
Yeah, see, that's an ick for Schwartz. I knew it.
And then last but not least, which is actually a video we are in the process of making, so follow us at 680 to see it, but the What's Up Brother.
What's up, brother?
Yeah. We had Matt do it earlier. He nailed it.
Because it was in my house every day. But now my 11-year-old, when I do it, so he got out of the car for school yesterday in the morning, and I dropped him. And as he's walking away, I yelled it. He looks at me, puts his hood on, walks away. Yep. So
he'll never say it again.
Yeah.
Oh, is it over already?
It was 2.5 weeks. That's enough. It's through the cycle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Once the moms and dads pick up on it, we got to move
on.
It's
too late.
Yeah.
It's too late.
All right. You can check out Schwartzy's podcast, the Bench Riders podcast. That's right. Wherever you get your favorite podcast. She is our social media director. She is Hip Hop Mandy. Thank you, Schwartzy.
Thank you.
She's also one of our fangirls. We've introduced 680 The Fan Girl, our brand new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. A little less X's and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. The 680 The Fan Girl pages are curated expressly for our 680 The Fan female sports fans. You can become a 680 The Fan Girl today. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup.
So, I have an idea. The Falcons are going to double up at cornerback, not like they did way back in the day with True and Alford Island. That was a first and second round pick. And my goodness, they could take two corners with their first two selections, but there are so many other areas, A, they are desperate to address, I believe. Or if they want to be complimentary to the offense, well, you got Kirk Cousins, so at least I understand the impulse now. If you were going to draft a receiver to give Dez another weapon, no. But a guy could actually do some stuff with it, well, I sort of understand that. But a corner at eight, maybe. A corner by trading back to the end of the first round, certainly. But there needs to be another corner at some point, and with all those needs and everything else, so it won't be too early picks. If it's a day three pick, and I mean like towards the end of day three, I'm going to give you an option, and he's out of the SEC twice. If we go way back in time, a buddy of mine at LSU, 2020, talked about Dwight McLaughlin, and his words were, I remember writing it down, he said, we got our next pterodactyl. And I was like, what does that mean? He said, tall corner, long arms, freaky hands, can get in passing lanes, pick off passes. He says, we've got our next guy. I was like, who is he? He said, Dwight McLaughlin. And I was like, okay, I'll make a note, and I watched him, and he made some plays. And after a couple of years, he got up out of Baton Rouge and went to Fayetteville. So then he started at Arkansas for a couple of years. Here's what you're dealing with. A guy who's taller than most, he's about 6'2 and a half, and he's about 190 pounds. You remember the Richard Sherman coverage, which was it was called the Richard Sherman coverage?
Yeah.
Richard is not somebody who you wanted to press on the line of scrimmage and say, Richard, give him a drop, step, turn, and go. And just stay with the guy. It was that high and outside coverage. Keep it in front of you. As long as he could be staring at the quarterback and backpedaling and using every last bit of runway possible. What Richard Sherman did better than anything is get the quarterback to commit before Richard had to commit. And he was so tall and the long arms and all that other stuff. That's how he was able to get his picks. Get the ball in the air and then I'll adjust. That's Dwight McLaughlin. And is it a poor man's Richard Sherman? Might be a destitute man's Richard Sherman, but it is the same sort of body, and it's the same coverage. I'll put it this way, like cover three. He's a cover three NFL corner. Cover three is what you run when you don't want to screw it up, okay? And that's McLaughlin, and that's a specific fit in the NFL, but I think he's going to be a pretty good fit for it, and he's somebody you may get in the sixth or seventh round.
Time for your checkup.
All right, coming up, this either has to be the biggest draft lie ever told, or the Falcons front office has just completely lost it.
I swear my kid's life, it's a fabrication.
I don't know what it is, but we'll talk about it next.
This is all a complete lie.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the FAN. Thank you. Thanks to you guys so much for spending your Wednesday with us. It is draft eve. We'll be live tomorrow at Harris Cherokee. Can't wait to get to the Caesars Sportsbook. Please join us. Last year we had a great crowd. It is fun watching the picks come off the board. We'll see if the Falcons stay at 8. We'll be doing the show live 2 to 6 and then a live draft show beginning at 8 o'clock tomorrow on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. In front of me, I have brought up a little website. That is atlsportstrips.com, the official travel provider for 680 The Fan, and should be your choice for all your sports travel destinations. I'm looking at a list of upcoming trips that includes Georgia and Tuscaloosa against Alabama coming up September of this year. Georgia in Austin in October as the Dogs take on the Longhorns. Atlanta's hometown baseball team, you know the one that plays right there. They're going out west to face the Angels. We got a full trip out there with tickets to the game, Disneyland, park hopper tickets.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Yes, great hotel stay. It's going to be awesome. And if you want to have a cool trip, I've never been to the Derby. We have a Kentucky Derby trip up that, to me, our partners with Philly Sports Trips, we've kind of put this together. It's going to be unbelievable. I heard it's one of the coolest weekends you can ever experience. You can be a part of that. So go to atlsportstrips.com. Investigate all the trips. Make sure you're locked in before they are all filled up. Again, you can go to atlsportstrips.com to find out all the info today. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, a headline this morning shows the normalization of gambling is now 100% complete. The Kang will explain around the corner. But first, what happens in the final hours of the draft? Intel from insiders is put out, but the question is, where does it come from? For instance,
Take a listen to Adam Schefter, ESPN, who had this intel, what he's hearing on the Falcons.
There's been some speculation, right or wrong, you never know exactly how accurate it is, that the Falcons like Penix. They've had workouts with him. They've had visits with him. They spent a lot of time. And do I think 8 is going to be the spot they take Penix? I'd be surprised, but I don't rule anything out.
All right, so you have that. And then, no coincidence, Jeremy Fowler, another one of the insiders, said multiple people have told me this week they believe the Falcons like Penix a lot, enough to take him at number 8 overall. Maybe, it's hard to say, but he'll likely be gone by the time the Falcons are on the clock again at 43. So both Schefter and Fowler believe they're in play to maybe move back into the first round to take him. But here's what's going on. Where does this intel come from? My gut on this is the Falcons put it out. They want to see if there's any way they can convince the teams picking at 11, 12, and 13, that being the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders, to have any shred of doubt that Michael Penix could come off the board. Now, in their right side of their mind, the common sense mind, they're like, they just spent on Kirk. They're not taking a quarterback at number 8. But if you're the Falcons, you do put this out to see if you can stir it up just a little bit and play some poker. And this would be one hell of a poker hand by Terry. Can you move back to either 11, 12, or 13? One of those other teams moves up. They get their quarterback. You end up picking a second-round pickup. You end up picking a fourth round. Maybe you play it so well that you get a future pick in another year. I'm not willing to believe any other scenario than this one. There is no way, no chance, no how the Falcons are taking Michael Penix at 8. They might like him, and if he's on the board somehow, which I don't think he will be, in the 20s, do I think they would trade back in? I do. There is no chance in hell they're taking him. That's, though, the game they have to play with other teams. Can they convince them they want Penix as their long-term after Cousins?
Yeah, the effective negotiator always adds leverage. The poor negotiator gives away leverage. And so you don't do things like announce what you're not. We're not even in the business of that. Like, you always like kind of leave the possibility out there. But here's your rule. And by the way, this has never failed me. When there's a leak, ask yourself, all right, who's the leak benefit? Well, benefits the Falcons, potentially. Now, the reality is it's probably not going to benefit anybody because I don't think there's going to be this mad rush to 8. The only other possibility, it could benefit Michael Penix if suddenly, oh my gosh, there's convo about number 8 and we got to move up to get him, and he gets drafted at 11 instead of 20. Most likely this is done to benefit the Falcons, and so that would probably be the source of the leak. I agree with you. Extremely unlikely. There are human beings involved, and they are flawed. Mm-hmm. I will tell you what is not a horrible scenario is spending a premium pick on a quarterback like Michael Penix, because he's bombs away, man. That is the profile of Michael Penix, and that is what you want to do with this offense and can do with Kirk Cousins. That part makes sense. At 8,
no,
doesn't really.
So logistically, think about it this way. If you did this, which they won't, but if you did this, you would have to declare on Michael Penix on the fifth-year option at the end of year 3. So theoretically, you would get at most 1 year to make your decision on Michael Penix, whether you're going to give him the fifth-year option. It doesn't make any sense. Again, when you spend on Kirk like you do, I've told you I think the Falcons will take a quarterback somewhere in the draft, a developmental type, just kind of stash him and let's see what he can turn into. When you take and spend the money you did on Kirk, well, now number 8's got to benefit him. And I don't mean specifically a weapon. It's got to mean, can I get the ball back to him on defense? Can I stop somebody when Kirk is giving us the lead late? Can I add another piece to a puzzle that I have to find? So that, to me, makes more sense. But I'll tell you where all the noise is right now in the final 24 hours. The Byron Murphy noise is loud. It is Drake London loud the day before the draft. It is Bijan loud as the draft approached. It is Kyle Pitts loud. And before people go nuts, he's not an edge. But what you can do is play him at the nose, and in a three-man front, you're going to have Grady and David Onyemata around him, and you'll still have to figure out what you're going to do on the outside. That is where the noise is right now, all over the place.
He's about 300 pounds. He's about 298 or so. So whatever, that's size, and you'll figure it out. The nose would be, that'd be something for him. But he's a tackle. He ain't an end. He's a tackle, tackle, tackle. I talked about him in a Doc McChuckins, I don't know, about a month ago, when it was just doing something other than edge rushers. Funny thing was, I, like everybody, I know what's valuable. I know how you win in the NFL. You win defensively by hitting the quarterback. So it was Verse and it was Dallas Turner, mostly conversation there. And then I said there was a comment somebody had made that, yeah, they're the best edge rushers, but the best defensive lineman in the draft is probably Byron Murphy. And so, and that was Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl. So he said, you know, the edges are the edges, and absolutely they're valuable. I said the best lineman is probably Murphy, so that's not unheard of.
Nope.
And Raheem's the head coach, and so let's get better.
Yep, and again, that's the noise. And the last couple of years when the noise has been loud.
At nose, really.
Yeah. I mean, where else?
Sweat's the big one.
He is, but you're not taking Sweat that
no,
high.
No, no.
But my point on it is you're also not going to put Grady in the nose at 285.
And
Onyemata's not the same. So we'll see what happens, but there's a lot of loudness coming out of it. All right, coming up in just a couple of moments, I know Mets fans and Phillies fans, they'll be all up in their feelings when they hear this. But I'm just reporting the facts. We'll get to it coming up. But first, a headline that this morning shows the normalization of gambling is now 100% complete.
Yeah, this morning I saw, now it involves Isaiah Rodgers, and most of us don't maybe know who he is specifically. So I'm going to give you the headline. Eagles Rodgers reinstated from gambling suspension. Let me rephrase this. Active NFL player was suspended for just a little while for making online bets against his own teammates' performances. He's back now. When you talk about the normalization of something, gambling in America, and I've said we do not handle new freedoms well in the United States, but I saw the headline this morning and was reading the story, actually last night, and was reading the story, and I was waiting to be phased. I was waiting to be shocked, and I realized I was thinking more about the Eagles' depth chart and how, because I don't like the Eagles, and how this may help them more so than the fact that this dude who was bet, he was a Colt, he made a $1,000 bet from his account. It wasn't me. Someone else made it. Happened to be on game day, somebody bet under Jonathan Taylor rushing yards for 1,000 among the other bets. Is this Al Capone stuff? No. Is it supposed to get our attention a little bit more? Yeah. Is he supposed to be back in the league? Snap your fingers. I don't know. He was betting either clearly with insider information, or maybe he was just hoping and pulling against a teammate. But we have now reached the point where a current player returning from a gambling ban isn't even really news. Our reaction to multiple active players, and Matt, Alabama baseball coach,
yep,
even coaches gambling on games their teams are part of, and I mean across college and the pros, we quickly move past clutch the pearls on that they're gambling. Now it's guys returning from a ban, and we're like, yeah, cool. What's that do to the two deep?
So a couple of things, and I'm glad you brought this up, right? So the leagues have to decide, are we going to have a zero tolerance policy? Because if you do, you have to be willing and able when you're ready to bring the same heat on a star player that it happens
to. You won't
to.
Be able to field a punt return team.
I won't go that far, but what I'll say is this. What just happened to Jontay Porter, for example. Jontay just got the lifetime ban. That's easy for the NBA to be like, you're done. Jontay Porter, who the hell are you? Pick a star player, attach his name to it. I don't know who the player is. Anthony Edwards. Why would Anthony gamble? It's not for the money, but Jontay Porter wasn't gambling for the money, folks. It was the action. He needed the competition. He needed the blood going. If Anthony Edwards, and I'm just using Ant for fun, it wouldn't be for the money. It's not about the money.
I got to win. I won $100 from this other punk.
Well, it's not even the $100 check. It's 11 a.m. I can gamble on something.
Yes.
It's not the money. It's just whatever the figure is.
But it's
is.
The action, the it's juice, the action. The win.
Correct. And even when you lose, it spurs you to do more. So my point on this is these leagues have to be very clear and careful up front. Zero tolerance is if we catch you gambling on something good, bad. Like the Calvin Ridley thing was fascinating in one degree, right? He was the first that we found out who did it, and we thought, is he going to get a lifetime ban? He ended up getting, what, about a year?
He's back.
Okay, he was back. I don't know what the league's policies are, because they're going to have to be very loud and very public about what their stances are on this stuff, because you can't pick and choose as you go along. It's easy to throw the book at Jontay Porter. It's a little bit easier to throw it at Calvin for a year. What happens when it's a big-name quarterback? And I don't know. Pick your quarterback. Right?
Which is why I'm saying
it's Justin Herbert. Is the league going to react the same way?
This is why I want to. When I said
I don't know the answer,
you wouldn't be able to field a punt return team. If the NFL opened an investigation right now of all 80 players under contract, because can't you have up to 80 in the offseason? I think it is.
Whatever the summer numbers are, maybe.
Yeah. So we're going to open investigations unto all 80. They don't want that. That's the last thing they want right now.
Well, don't give them a reason to. They don't have
what
to.
What they want to do is come with a policy that everybody understands, and beginning right now, April of 2024, moving forward, this is the policy. Like, that's where they hope to get to. Right now, they're just wandering through the desert. They have no clue what they're doing.
Folks, this is easy not to get caught. It's really not.
It should be.
Like, this is not a hard thing. These guys are attaching credit cards, right? And Jontay Porter was a VIP at whatever FanDuel.
Was it K-Butte 7? Like, wasn't that, didn't he use his own name?
And then his mom was also on his account. There are ways to avoid this, because to your point, guys are going to do it. Everybody's got the guy who grew up with him, who stays with him. Hey, give him the account. Give him the cash. Venmo him some money. He does it. There are a million ways. But the problem with that is you're not thinking straight. Because at 11 a.m., when I can gamble on lacrosse, I can do it myself with my thumb on my app. It's the action that just...
Yeah, but when I'm on Prize Picks and I see somebody else is on their real Tyler Ehro, then I'm wondering, you should have been smarter than this.
Feels like a giveaway. It does. And he's playing the over, the 3.5 threes again. Yeah. Reminder, First Horizon Bank and Double Play ATL are teaming up to give back. We're going to be collecting new and gently used baseball and softball equipment, giving back to local teams and organizations in need. You want to join the 643 show with Dylan Short coming up live this weekend. You can bring your new and gently used baseball and softball equipment to Kennesaw Baseball and Softball at Adams Park Saturday morning, April 27th, starting at 9 a.m. through 11 a.m. Each person who donates will receive a free car wash, compliments of Tidal Wave Auto Spa. So I'll be quick about this, and I'm going to give you facts, and we're not going to get into feelings. During the baseball postseason, there were a lot of very chesty Philadelphia fans bragging about we're the best fans around. And Kincaid and I went round and round on this. And I honestly don't care about this stuff, but I always remind people fans are all the same everywhere. Just doesn't matter. When things are hot, we show up. When they're not, we don't. Simple enough. But the Philly fans we're better than you because we're louder. And I'm like, you guys didn't show up for 10 years. So you can be loud on your couch. You show up now when the team is good because you're like everybody else. Well, some numbers have come out to start this season. And Braves attendance is up yet again, which wouldn't be a big deal if they weren't already a top two or three attendance team. The Braves are up 1,126 fans from the same exact point last year, same amount of games. So this is a exact sample from a year ago. These numbers come from Baseball Reference. So the Braves are, again, they're up over a top two or three attendance team a year ago. The biggest teams that are up in attendance are Arizona and Texas. What do they have in common?
Win the World Series.
They played in the World Series. You get the bump. Arizona's up 10,000 fans a game. Texas is up 9,300. All right, let me get to the Philly fans. Best fans around. Loudest. We make noise. We rock Citizens Bank. They're down 1,500 fans a game. And they're right now off to an amazing start. They had just had a 7-game win streak ended.
Yeah, they pitch.
So, Philly fans, are you loud at home? Or are you loud only in the postseason? Because April, I don't know. Weather's bad. Weather's bad. It's bad everywhere. School's in session. Traffic's bad. All crime, all of it. It's all the same. But this is my point on Philly fans. You can brag about October. We're the loudest to make noise. Where the F are you all season? Brave fan attendance is up again. It goes up every year, and they sell out almost every year. Here's the funniest one. Dodger attendance is down 3,500 a game. Ohtani fever has not caught on yet. Now, that's an outlier of a stadium because it's so freaking big. But I would have thought people were going to be hanging from the rafters to get a look at Ohtani. They're down nearly 3,600 fans a game. The bottom three in attendance, and you'll get a kick out of this. The two of the three won't shock you. Colorado is down 4,300 fans a game.
They're not trying.
Oakland's down 4,400 fans a game, which is hard to believe considering how few people go. Dead last in attendance, the biggest drop, the New York Mets. They're down 6,300 fans a game.
Stinking Mets.
But that's another city. We live baseball. We're Northeasterners. We're not Atlanta. We're not this fair weather city. I'm sorry. The Mets are overachieving. The Met fan is very proud of this overachievement, yet they're not showing up because of weather, and it's April, and there's school, and there's traffic. We are all the same. So when we get to October again and the obnoxious Philly fan yells louder and tells you he's better, remind him he didn't show up again. And it got worse in the numbers from a year ago.
It was very, as you said, what, chesty?
From the Kincaids of the world. Our fans, shut up.
That's exactly, it was very clear that our fans were part of why we won, and you're okay. Bounced again. And so middle finger to the Braves. And then you know what happened after the Diamondbacks? The frickin' Diamondbacks bounced you in your home in Game 7. We played audio of those fans walking out. MF this, GD that. It was like they were cussing them. It was a week and a half later. You lost at home to the Arizona Diamondbacks walking out of the stadium. It was awful.
I promise you I don't care to rank fans, but I would say this to everybody. It's easy to show up in the playoffs. Easy. It's easy to be loud, and it's easy to be rocking. Yep. That's easy. April, you got to work a little bit. right? I went to Sunday night's game. I got an 11-year-old. I wasn't thrilled Sunday night. I had already agreed. He's got school. You go. You deal. That's a little bit of an issue. The postseason, you'll move everything aside to go to the postseason. Like, that's not hard and nothing to brag about. Philadelphia,
you're
New
tired
York.
For a couple of weeks in the postseason. That's fine.
It
you just
should
deal
be.
With it.
Yes. Philly fans, New York fans, we're so much better. Northeastern, shut up. Those fans, those people. That's what they are, those people. All right, coming up, whether in Detroit tomorrow night or Salvatore's in Newark, Salvatore's, there's one group who really should hush on up.
Honey, hush.
I'll tell you who they are next. Chuck and Chernoff, that's us. I would be the Matt part of it. That's the Chuck part of it. We make up Chuck and Chernoff, and you all make up the audience.
We are Chuck and Chernoff.
We are indeed. We are headed to Harris Cherokee tomorrow. Live in the Caesars Sportsbook, it's where we'll be for the normal award-winning show 2-6 and then the special draft extravaganza coming up at 8 o'clock. But stick around 6 to 8. We got a pre-draft show with the Heath Bar and the Westie.
Mocha, chocolate.
Yep, Heath Klein and Steve West will get you set. They'll hand it back to us at 8, and we'll cover all things draft, starting with the Bears on the clock at 8. Good news for Braves fans all over Georgia. You can now take part in the Atlanta Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle, whether you're in the building at Truist Park or just anywhere in the state of Georgia. For the first time ever, jackpots will be open during home and road series throughout the season. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the total jackpot, with the remaining 50% going to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. You can still enter in person at Truist or online. Just a reminder, if you enter online, you must be physically located in the state of Georgia at the time of entry. For complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to Braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while in the state of Georgia. So whether you're in Detroit tomorrow night or Salvatore's in Newark, Chuck says there's one group who should just quiet down.
Yeah, that'd be Jets fans, because they're going to boo the draft pick. And the reason I say Salvatore's in Newark, this morning I Googled worst sports bar in New Jersey. Funniest response I saw was a Reddit board where someone said every bar in Bayonne. But apparently there was a Salvatore's in Newark where it was kind of all up for grabs. And that's where Jets fans would watch on a Sunday. So if you're talking about miserable fans who need to hush up about draft picks, I'm talking about Jets fans. I'm going to give you one quick example. 2008, the radio station I worked for, flagship for an NHL team, Thrashers. That year's draft, the Thrashers selected Zach Redmond. He was a defenseman from Ferris State.
Now, I love him.
I didn't boo the pick because I know almost nothing about college hockey or juniors or like the Swedish training league that Kari Lehtinen had to go in before he went to the Army, I think. Or college hockey in the United States. I don't know anything about it, so I didn't boo the pick. Tomorrow night, I guarantee you Jets fans are going to boo their team's pick. I know that because it's happened my entire life. Since I recall the draft being televised, first time, I think I was a 7th or 8th grader, 1981, they spent the 3rd overall pick on a guy at a UCLA named Freeman McNeil, running back Freeman McNeil. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, he's pretty good. I've watched him a little. He's good. I didn't understand really about football, but I was like, he's a horse. And that's what the NFL did in 1981. Jets fans, guy at UCLA in an era where there were like 2 televised games on a Saturday. Jets fans here, UCLA running back, Freeman McNeil, boo! He started his rookie season. The next 10, he went in their ring of honor. He retired as the franchise's all-time leading rusher. Here's why Jets fans need to hush up. They don't know about college football. They think they do. They don't. Patriots fans do not know about college football. Giants fans do not know about college football. They believe they do. They should absolutely hush up.
Whoa.
I didn't say anything about Zach Redmond because I don't know anything about college hockey. I wanted the Thrashers to win. And when everybody crapped on Patrick Stephon, I was like, yeah, I'll do that too. I didn't know why. It is the exact same thing. Jets fans, this isn't what you do.
You know, you have to blame. Fireman Ed. That's that cat that shows up everywhere with that Jets stupid-looking helmet on, and everybody just follows him. So they live the gimmick now, because there was a point when it was real.
They were jockeying. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was real back in the day.
Because it was in New York like the first 30 years, and so they and Giants fans dominated the crowd.
Yeah, they pan up to the balcony, and these reprobates are up there.
Oh, it all sucks.
And it could have been. They could have had the Pope. The card could have said the Pope, and they would have booed
Bad
him.
Hat. Boo. boo.
But now it's just become the gimmick because their dads did it. So they're going to boo no matter who it is. Now, it could be Brock Bowers who gets booed. That is one of the names that is tied to the Jets a ton at 10. You can't boo Brock. In all honesty, if you're a Jet fan and you boo Brock, how perfect is it that Aaron Rodgers would get Brock Bowers, Garrett Wilson, and a few of the other weapons? There's no booing Brock. That's okay. Not a thing you're allowed to do.
Let me ask you, you are at, I don't know, Salvatore's in Newark.
I was just looking up Salvatore's.
Actually, yeah. I heard it is down the hatch in New York City is where the miserable Jets fans, apparently that's the number one place. It's called down the hatch in
New
York.
You can't blame them for being miserable.
No,
right?
Yeah. Their franchise has given them nothing since January of 1969. You've kind of had nothing.
They make the Falcons franchise look like it's running well.
So I understand that, but you don't know what you're saying. You really don't.
It doesn't matter, though. You think that matters.
Because this is what I want to ask you.
You think they're I don't know about this guy.
All right, you're at down the hatch because that's where miserable Jets fans go. And they announce Brock Bowers, and people start booing, and you're one of them. And so it's a whole bar full of Jets fans. Boo, the pick, Brock Bowers. What are you booing? Specifically, the first guy who boos, what is he booing?
To boo. That's what you do.
But what about the pick?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't, give me a name, not Brock Bowers. Give me another one.
Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, boo. Give me another one.
J.J. McCarthy.
Boo. Give me another one. It doesn't matter. It's just that's what they're doing.
Brian Thomas.
They're booing to boo. It doesn't. There is not a right answer in their head. You just said they don't know college football. They don't watch it.
How do you boo? Zach Redmond. Boo! Why are you booing, boo. Chuck? I don't know.
You were raised in a booing house?
Because I want to be on ESPN. And we boo the most. Like, they boo. And the Jets, Giants fans used to kind of work for that when it was in New York every year. Mm-hmm. Now, they're just known. They're the worst fan base in the league.
Chuck's got a college football today in a moment. Give me a quick tease to hold the audience.
SEC head coach is living the worst of the portal life. Or maybe it's just normal.
The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
So, SEC head coach who's living the worst of the portal life, Hugh Freeze, but maybe it's just normal. Over the weekend, and he was honest, we didn't have a whole lot of impact on sort of depth in the middle of the line or anywhere on the defensive line, but mostly in the middle with the tackles. And Marcus Harris is going to the NFL, so you know what? We're like everybody else. We need tackles. Brian Kelly did everything except cut a wrestling video. I want every D tackle to know I'm coming for you, wherever you are in America. Like, he literally was saying those words, okay? So it's all about defensive tackles now. And, oh, damn, if over the weekend, Auburn got three tackles. They got three transfers. They had a tackle earlier. I'm sorry. They got two more tackles and an edge over the weekend. So they've gotten three tackles in the portal. Like, guys have started Power 4 programs. And then they got an edge as well from Arkansas State over the weekend, who they really like. So it's three tackles and then the edge from Arkansas State, and that's fantastic. The reason I'm saying the worst of the portal life is there was an announcement earlier today, and it's not official for one of the kids. I hadn't seen his name yet. But the report is that Colton Hood and Tyler Scott, who are two 4-star freshman corners from this past year's class, who Auburn really liked and redshirted because they said these kids got some future and got depth with old men this year. And so they talked to them and everybody explained it, and it was supposed to be, kosher. And Colton Hood and Tyler Scott, not unusual, but they're in the portal now. And Hugh Freeze is looking around going, wait a minute, I thought I was almost done. And now you're down two corners who you were looking around thinking they were going to play this year. If you care where the transfers are going or maybe why, well, maybe there's a dollar or two in it for the kids, whereas at Auburn they're very low profile, at least right now. And former Auburn coach Zach Etheridge, who played at Auburn, he's now at Houston. And UCF, of course, that's Gus, and he's got former Auburn wide receiver and staff guy Trovon Reed, who's on staff now with Gus, and so there's relationships. So they may transfer to one of those, but the point is Hugh Freeze looking around thinking this was supposed to be wrapped up, and because of the portal, it's not.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
All right, coming up, Max Fried threw a Maddox last night, but that confused Snit.
I can't tell one from the other.
Plus, Terry Fontenot is either delusional
or he's just flat lying about his team right now.
He's a liar and a cheater.
I don't want to say that, but I think I'll play you some proof that tells me he might not be telling the truth next.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.